Hey, everybody. Welcome to Game Goose. Cracking the White Claw, 8 p.m. I hope everyone had a great day in quarantine. I hope it was relaxing or productive or whatever you wanted it and needed it to be. Today is April 21st, 2020. This is Season 2, Episode 36. Down the street, Clinton Brower. How are you, Clinton?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
I'm doing well. My wife just cut my hair. I feel lighter. But yeah, other than that, pretty good.
Pretty good. What did she use?
Stuff that we have. We have hair cutting supplies. So, you know, for
did
trimming.
She use what she used on the dog?
Yes, but they're okay. Meant for humans. We usually use that on our human selves, and we tried to use it on the dog, but our dog's hair is too thick. So we just kind of did like half of him, like just did his belly. We're getting the rest, like a dog trimming kit in the mail.
And my father does the same thing.
Yeah, so dog hair, human hair, very different, even though our dog has hair and not fur, still different. And that's Neil Brower in New York. Hi, Neil.
Yo!
How are you?
I am great. Just humming along.
Good, good. Hey, before we get started today, we want to say a couple of things. We are going to change the format a little bit of Game Goose, and by change of format, we mean delete a bunch of stuff and just make it quicker, more streamlined. Yeah,
there we go. That's the polite term.
Yeah, streamlined. So I forgot to turn on my light. I set it all up, didn't turn it on, but I don't think it matters because there's a
sunlight coming. Stank face right now.
I can't see Clinton because of the way that it's set up. So basically, when we started Game Goose, we wanted to do stuff that other podcasts weren't doing, and every other podcast does news and upcoming games. So we don't want to be redundant if you listen to multiple podcasts. So we're cutting those. We're going to shorten the show up. Those are kind of the parts we most enjoy and we dive deep into anyway. So no more upcoming games, no more news. I'm sure you can find that stuff elsewhere. I'm sure you already do find that stuff elsewhere.
And if there's some big something scandalous or something truly wonderful, we'll talk about it. But other than that, no, not the day-to-day minutiae of the video game world.
Right, right. For sure. So what have you guys been playing?
I want to go. I beat Dark Souls 2.
Nice.
Did you figure out why it's not the favorite?
I know very well why it is not the favorite. I've already started Dark Souls 3, and I can already tell that it goes Dark Souls 1, Dark Souls 3, Dark Souls 2. Now, 2 is not a bad game. I did learn that, I can't say this guy's name, but the lead director who did 1 and made 1 what it is, was working on another project when 2 was in development. So they didn't take risks. They kind of took what you already knew from 1 and changed things a little bit. And what I found is a lot of the changes that they made the game harder, but not for fun reasons. Not smarter enemies, not... It boiled down to a bunch of mechanics I won't get into that just really boiled down to resource management in a game that was already that doesn't hold your hand, that doesn't even acknowledge you have a hand, and sometimes cuts off your hands. It seemed like they just made it hard so that it could be a Dark Souls game. And I remembered, I think this was your review of Banjo-Tooie. Banjo-Tooie felt like, to you, it felt like they made the world from 1 bigger because they felt like the second game needed to be bigger, but they didn't put more in it. And Dark Souls 2 really felt like they recycled a lot of the same kind of biomes and made the world larger, so you had to travel farther. And
are you talking about Clinton's review of Banjo-Tooie?
No, he's talking about, you're talking about Yooka-Laylee.
Yeah, Yooka-Laylee. That's okay. What I was going to say, I've never played Banjo-Tooie, and I think Clinton really likes Banjo-Tooie, if I remember correctly.
Okay,
yeah.
Then maybe it's not Banjo. But they made Dark Souls 1 bigger and more expansive without necessarily putting more in it.
Yeah,
Dark Souls 2. Cool. And I'm already on to 3, and it's already totally different than both of them while still sticking to its roots, and I'm really enjoying it. It's fun because I've seen a lot of Bloodborne, and I've obviously beaten Sekiro, so I can totally see where both of those games came out of 3, or maybe 3 was after Bloodborne. I'm not sure.
I don't know. Are you planning on playing Bloodborne?
It's PlayStation, so I can't.
Oh, gotcha. I watched a video today of the top 20 hardest games, and Dark Souls was on there, and Sekiro was on there. I think they were both in the top 10, Sekiro being harder than Dark Souls.
It is, 100%.
So, yeah, Cuphead was on there. Celeste was on there. I think it was even higher than Dark Souls and higher than Cuphead.
I think people think Celeste is hard because you die a lot, but you're supposed to die a lot, and it's eventually you get past it. It's not like... Yeah,
it doesn't like kick you back really far or anything.
No,
so I thought that was interesting. Clinton, what have you been playing over there?
I've only been playing Elite Dangerous. That's all I've played this week.
Yeah, every time I go into Discord, it's like Clinton is playing Elite Dangerous, because usually I can see that you're playing with our friends Cody and Krista, and I was like, oh, Clinton's just broken off and he's just going solo.
No, they've been playing Valorant, and I don't have a key, so I've just been playing Elite Dangerous.
Nice. Nice. Anything you want to add to it from talking last week?
I hooked up a voice controller to it, so it automates a lot of things. I can just be like, hey, take me into dock, and it'll request a docking and all of that.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Are there any other games that do that?
I think space games in general is kind of... Mm-hmm. There's a program called Voice Attack that does it, so I don't know how much... It like overlaps into other games, but
that's pretty neat. On my end, I'm doing a little more Animal Crossing. They announced some new update stuff that's coming out that looks pretty cool. All of it looks a million times better than Easter, which is terrible. So they're expanding the museum, and you can get art, which is my part I'm most excited about. They're adding bushes to the game, which I'm not excited about. But I know some people like the flowers, so it's going to be kind of like an expansion on that. And all kinds of stuff. There's like an Earth Day and a wedding season and all kinds of things like that. So, looks like they have a lot planned.
I'm thinking Animal Crossing is prime for some sort of fair or carnival with some playable mini games.
It looks like the Earth Day event or the May Day event, there's like an island that had like a maze in it. And it looked like that was kind of mini game-ish, so that'd be cool. Yep. We'll see how that goes. Sorry, my dog is just roaming around doing stuff. So if you hear that tip-tapping, he's been really bored. It's cold today, so he doesn't want to... He looks warm, but it's cold, so he goes outside and he gets really bummed out and just comes back inside and walks around. So, and then Neil and I have been playing Ark.
Yep.
We had a day the other day that was a classic Ark day. We had one goal, which was to catch a Quetzal, which is like a giant bird. In Ark, they don't use the real names of dinosaurs. They're always like cut down.
Made up.
Yeah. Because I can't remember what the name of that dinosaur is. But I actually finished that fossil in Animal Crossing like the same day, which was weird. but it's a giant bird that you can build a base on. And we had a plan to go catch it, and we got ready, we went to go do it, and everything went bad, like, immediately. It involves us, like, grappling to an eagle and shooting the bird from while grappled to the eagle, so it's pretty cool how you do it. But then my line snapped, and I, like, fell to my death, and Neil's trying to get my stuff. He was killed by the raptors, so we end up coming back to our base defeated and down like 3 of our dinos, and took a little break, a couple hour break, went back to it, and probably 6-7 hours in the game, we finally, like, at the end, finished our goal at the end of the night. And it was just
because it was such a weight off our shoulders.
Yes, it was just a classic, like, here's our goal. That went terrible. We have to restart this whole thing and build up again. But we finally got it. So it was fun.
Nice.
And then we found out that in order to build a base on this bird, we need to be about 15 levels higher.
We just have this giant bird walking around our base that clips into everything and has giant poops and really does nothing for us right now. But he's there. Or she's there. Helga. Yeah.
Helga. Yes. So after we're like 15 levels higher, we can build a flying base, which will be fun. So And then other than that, I started playing God of War finally on PlayStation 4, and it deserves all the praise it got. It is amazingly good.
Reboot.
Yes, for the newest one, the 2018 God of War. Yes. So I'm not sure if it's a completely a reboot or if it's just kind of a reimagining, because I know it's different than the other things. But Kratos kind of like talks about his past, and he doesn't want his son to know he's a god and the things that he's done. So it's really good. It has minor things that I'm not crazy about, but overall, it's just a super epic game. The combat is a lot of fun, and I like the story too. Story's good, but it's not. It does a really good job of. There's not a ton of cutscenes. Like, it's when you're kind of traveling around, you kind of get the story. So that's kind of nice that you just kind of keep moving. You play a lot of the story aspects and things like that. So it's making me want to read. There's a book that I think, Clinton, you've read it, Norse Mythology.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that's been on my list for a while. And just playing this, I'm like, I got to read that book. Because there's just like so much stuff. And Courtney keeps looking over going, oh, is that this person? Is that this person? So it's pretty cool. And I think we talked about this when we did the battle. Kratos is Thor's half-brother, because they're both sons of Odin, and they do talk about that in this game. So there's kind of like a whole thing that Odin's looking for him, but you don't really know why.
Huh.
And Thor's apparently a giant dickhead.
Well, I think that's pretty accurate to real mythology.
Yeah, because like most of my like Thor knowledge is from Marvel.
Yeah.
Which is not... motherfucker. Yeah. Clinton, I don't know if you know this at all. If you know, is Thor ever like giant? Like really, really giant?
I have no idea. I don't think so. Cause... I don't think they like conform to like human like dimensions.
Yeah, cuz And I know this game probably isn't super accurate to Norse mythology either, but like you find Mjolnir and it's like the size of like a building. Like it's huge. So I'm like, is Thor huge? But then you fight his brothers at one point and they're like Kratos size. So
isn't
I don't know.
The mythology of that game must be all weird, because isn't Kratos a Greek god in the first ones?
I do not know.
And isn't he like going to kill like all the Greek gods? Isn't that like the first games?
It might be, and like Neil said, this is kind of, I don't really know. I've never played another God of War game. I've watched a few of them be played. I know this one is much different than the other ones, so I don't know at all the past of Kratos. I'll check it out. I'll look it up, but I don't want anything to be spoiled, so I'm kind of waiting for the end of the game and then go back and kind of learn about it. So there's some things I'm not a big fan of. There's like puzzles that are kind of repetitive. There's these chests, and they have three runes on them, and you have to like destroy these runes that you find around. And it kind of gets like the seventh time you do that, you're like, man, this is kind of a slog. And you don't know inside the chest, there's items that if you collect three of them will upgrade your health or upgrade your rage, which is like a special ability move. But not all of them have it. Some of them just have like currency or like resources. So you don't even know if it's worth doing. So that kind of gets annoying. And then some of the enemies get samey, but for the most part, it's still really fun to play. And man, when you throw that axe and you call it back to you, like everything feels great. Like everything just feels epic. Even when you get, there's like little health stones on the ground and you press circle when you're near them to up your health, he like stomps on them, they explode. Like everything just feels super cool and like snappy. So...
yeah, so it was based on Greek mythology and then shifted to Norse mythology, I guess, it says.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah, interesting. Was he was killing the gods in the past one?
I don't know about that. I just...
gotcha.
It's like the first thing it says on Wikipedia.
So then he has to kill Ares, because Ares is the Greek god of war. Mars is the Roman god of war. Anyways.
Yeah, he definitely like doesn't like the god and talks about bad. Son doesn't know he's a god, and it's kind of like that kind of thing. So I think we're pretty close to in where I'm at, where his son's gonna find out he's a god and start questioning him all about all this stuff. But it's super fun. They just make you feel like a badass sometimes, and bosses are really cool, and I fought all kinds of really neat things. So, all right, any other games that you guys have played recently?
That's it for me.
Yeah, same, same. We're just jumping to our main topic. That's how we're doing it now these days.
Isn't that fun?
Yeah. We are going to talk about artificial intelligence today in video games, obviously, because that's what we talk about. We're not going to be talking about how AI might take over the world or anything like that. But we've done a little bit of research on artificial intelligence in video games. I kind of got a brief little history of it, so I guess we'll start with that. So the first idea of artificial intelligence in kind of like a computer was a game called NIM, which is a game where you have like stacks and piles of things, and your goal is to take the last item from that pile. And they created a computer simulation in 1951 so people could play against a computer. They published it in 1952, and it could actually beat some of the best players in the world. So they take turns removing the objects or NIMing it, and then one player must remove at least one, but you can remove any number provided they all came from the same pile. And then depending on the version of being played, the goal of the game was to either avoid taking the last object or to take the last object. And apparently they taught computers to beat some of the best players, which kind of led on where AI grew a lot was in chess and checkers, which eventually they had an AI that beat the chess grandmaster, Garry Kasparov. He's Russian, Kasparov. IBM created a computer called Deep Blue that beat him in 1997. In 1970 was when enemies started showing up in video games, and it was based on stored patterns. So there was no AI, so people could kind of just know where enemies were going to go. And you could become really good at a video game by just knowing, like, oh, a person's going to pop out there, a person's going to pop out there. So they found out that was kind of boring, and in 1970s, they started adding AI. One of the big ones and most interesting was actually Pac-Man, because it was the first game to give each enemy a separate AI personality. I don't really have the list of what each one does, but each of the ghosts will act differently and chase you in different patterns and things like that, depending. Then when we got into the 90s was the next big explosion in AI and video games. Sports games started to emulate coaching styles in the 90s. In the late 80s and early 90s, the really big one was real-time strategy games, because this gave the AI a lot of things to deal with and think about, which was incomplete information, finding paths, and real-time decisions and economic planning. And the first games were terrible. They didn't work very well. Enemies had a hard time finding paths to games and they were to other bases, and they would get stuck, and then they become very predictable. So developers starting allowing the computers to cheat to make them seem smarter. So they would like teleport their units around the map and get extra money for harvesting things so that it appeared that the game was better than it actually was. And now that brings us to the current time. AI is so good now that it can actually learn from players' actions and counterplay against you, and it will know like that you're more likely to do this or that and start to do the other things. And we've even gotten to the point where in some games, like this would happen in Hearthstone, players are creating their own bots to spam games for wins with really cheap strategies. So AI has come from something that was difficult to do from developers to the point where players are doing it and programming it into games to basically cheat. So that's kind of the brief little history of AI and how it moved through games.
You said, I think it was what program was Deep Blue? Was that for the chess game or for NIM?
That was for chess.
One thing I uncovered is in all of AI, not for just video games. Video games have a specially practical application for AI, and the term AI is kind of a misnomer, because no person you come across in a video game is actually intelligent. They're approaching intelligent, but they're not, you know, they're not truly independent. They react to the player. They don't do their own thing. But this process in the everyday world is called deep learning, which might be what Deep Blue came from. And deep learning relies on your algorithm, your computer, your quote unquote AI, having stores of data to pick through. So, you know, whatever it might be, you know, 1,000 games of chess or a thousand times of a player running through Doom. I don't know. And the more data they have, the more responses, the more stimuli they have, they're used to, and the more responses they can calculate from it. So you get a different reaction every time you play the level. Now, obviously, this is just really being put into application in the last, like, 10 years. Like, your N64 couldn't do this. But that's kind of where it's headed. There's a number of examples from The Last of Us being really good to a game that came out about 10 years ago called Fear, F-E-A-R. What was another one? And another example of this is a computer you play against in Smash Brothers time and time again learns what you like to do, which is deep learning. The more you learn, the different they act.
Yeah, it's because it's not like artificial intelligence as we think about it outside of games is more of like creating actual intelligence where they like act on their own and do their own thing, where you're right, this is more of like a reaction than an actual like deciding to do something.
Yeah, I found a really a simple chart, which will still be hard to explain with words, but it just, and it's very at the base of this, it described what a ghost did in Pac-Man. Essentially, there are four nodes in a square. You have Wander the Maze, Chase Pac-Man, Flee Pac-Man, and Return to the Base. And then connecting all those nodes are different stimuli from the player, like Wander the Maze, spot Pac-Man, that leads you to Chase Pac-Man, or Wander the Maze, spot Pac-Man, Pac-Man has a power pellet, Flee Pac-Man, or Pac-Man kills you, return to base, and then back to your starting point, which is Wander Maze. And essentially, that is what all your AIs are doing. It just gets more and more complicated when you add, you know, a 3D space and stuff like that. But that's a really simple version of it.
Yeah. I mean, we've definitely seen, I'm sure everybody who's played a game has seen like a bad version of AI. Sure. One that I can think of is like Halo. And I think they did this in Halo. They made different levels of AI, but overall it was still pretty bad in general. Because you would just throw a grenade and, you know, they're taught to just dive from it. But if you could throw two grenades, you could throw one in one direction, one in the other, you can make them all dive into a grenade. And it was just like, they would never do that, you know.
It's funny because Halo was, you know, combat evolved. It was praised for the intelligence of the NPCs.
Right.
So that was like, you know, that was a masterwork at the time, and it's changed so much since then.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that it's funny to think back. I think when I first played Halo, I was probably like, oh, wow, they try not to get shot. And now I'm like, ah, they're dumb. They'll just run into anything if you make them.
Yeah. Another thing I remember about that game is one of the first times I remember like seeing people sleeping and just having different altered combat states rather than, I guess GoldenEye kind of did that too, where it was a bit of a stealth game sometimes. But a lot of the times you're just thrown into a fight, you know, get behind a wall, shoot, move up, get behind a wall, shoot, move. There's no nuances to that. So I think an interesting breakdown of this I found was from Splinter Cell, an old stealth game, which I used to love. I haven't played a stealth game in forever. But that was, they did a great job exploring and explaining kind of the altered states of an NPC from, you know, you enter, you don't need to know much about this game if you don't, you're a spy. Essentially, every room is a puzzle. Your goal is to get from one end of the room to the other, maybe do an objective in the room without being spotted, without raising an alarm. So you have like, you know, your null state is you walk into a room and the guards are on patrol. Or maybe not even that. Maybe one of them sitting down at a computer and two of them are doing a loop around the room. And you need to navigate your way to another door, a briefcase, whatever it may be. And within that, there's a huge amount of stimuli you can give to a computer to change its acting state, really. So, like, I don't know, let's say you throw a rock, or, you know, there's so many different versions of distractions. I don't remember what Splinter Cell has, but you throw something in the corner of the room, so now one of the NPCs hears it, and he is alerted. He does not know you are there, but he is alerted to a presence, and right. he alters his loop. This is just reactionary coding. So it's not truly, like you were saying, artificial intelligence. Although sometimes, I think in Splinter Cell or a couple other stealth games, if you distract something too much, they'll get suspicious and they'll yeah. really start looking for you, or there's some sort of high alert. Maybe they're not shooting at you, but they're sounding an alarm anyway, blah, blah, blah. I find myself saying this, I think I said this during the probability episode, but it's all really obvious. You just never look at it. If it's coded correctly, you know, it seems intelligent. If it's working properly, you shouldn't note it, is kind of the, is your goal.
Yeah. Yeah. For sure. Are you going to say something, Glenn?
Yeah, I was just going to say, like, yeah, like he's saying, like, the best AI are going to be the ones that don't stand out.
Right.
So they're going to be the ones that, yeah, seem to, in some games, that'll be, they react predictably every time. In some games, that'll be that they have, yeah, different reactions for different things, and different stimuli will give you different kind of reactions.
Yeah, I don't think there's games you walk away going, that was great AI, because you just think, like, wow, that game felt really natural.
Yeah.
Like, you could definitely walk away. Like, one thing that comes to mind is when people are sitting in Skyrim and you can put a bucket on their head and steal all the stuff.
Or you shoot them with an arrow and they're like, oh, must have been the wind.
Right.
Like, they have arrows stuck in their shoulder. Like.
Yeah, like, and it's weird. It's like, is that bad AI or is that lack of AI, right? Because it seems like they just didn't code that possibility into the game.
Yeah.
To be like, I have to go look for the guy who shot me with an arrow.
Like, someone definitely shot me. Like, but I'm only programmed to look for 30 seconds, so right. must have been the wind.
Yeah.
I'm knocking all those loose arrows out of the ceiling.
And even more on display when you kill their patrol buddy and they're very panicked for about 30 seconds. And they're like, well, that's about as much as I can do about that.
Yeah. Yeah. Someone died. Must have been the plague.
Aneurysms, man. They'll get everybody.
Why? We shouldn't move the body at all. Let's just leave it there.
Yeah, he's good. Yeah. This is what Dave would want.
Yeah, but I mean, like, you can, yeah. So, like, but with enemies that are pretty much just as dumb as the ones in Skyrim, like Breath of the Wild, they just feel more natural because they are just dumb monsters.
Right.
So, like, when they do see their buddy die and they, like, run over to him and grab his weapons and then just kind of go back to dancing around the fire, it doesn't seem so unnatural because they are just, like, dumb monsters.
Yeah.
So you don't take note of that as much.
That's a pretty good point, Clayton. Like, I think that it's probably harder to have human enemies because then you have to make them act human. Where in Halo, that's probably one of the reasons they were like, well, let's make them aliens and make the grunts, you know, just grunts because yeah. they can just run at you. We don't have to think about, you know, if they're sad, if their friend dies or whatever. We yeah. can just make them run at you and jump from grenades and shoot at you, and you don't have to think about it.
Yeah.
But Breath of the Wild did do a good job with a beast or not, like I always want to say Blobkin, but that's not it.
Bokoblins.
Yeah. I'm going to call them the Blobkins.
I always want to say Moblins. Were there Moblins?
Yeah, Moblins are the bigger ones.
Okay, yeah. All right.
But they know, like, if you throw a bomb at them, they know that they can throw it back. There is a certain amount of.
Yeah, I think that's part of it too, but there's like those kind of hard coded rules for how they interact with things.
Yeah.
And so, like, if you do throw a bomb, they'll either pick it up and throw it, or they'll run from it or whatever. Or if you throw a flaming sword at them, they'll pick it up and use it or whatever. Like,
yeah.
And I think a lot of that game I think it seems like the things are smarter than they are because a lot of the other things interact in the way that you think they should. So, like, yeah. holding a fire sword in the freezing cold, or I don't know. I'm trying to think of other things in that game that you can, like, interact with. The way that the things interact act like they should, so it makes the things that makes the AI seem smarter, too, because they interact with mm-hmm. those things in that way.
Yeah. Another outside of, like, adventure, shooter, kill-em-up games, there was a designer, and this is a really simple version of it, but, like, there's a digital version of the game Clue, and one of the designers said, kind of, like, among other things, there were a couple more, there's a little more minutia that went into this, but in picking a beginner, intermediate, and advanced AI, your beginner AI is going to remember the last turn. The intermediate can draw from 3 turns of memory, where the advanced remembers every move that has happened so far.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
So they can only act on, you know, a portion of the knowledge,
yeah.
rather than the advanced one, who apparently just beats everybody.
Well, that's what you were talking about when you played Monopoly in the trading aspect of Monopoly, where you were saying, like, I have 2 greens. They have 1 green. If they give me the green, I'm going to have 3 greens. And then I'm just going to, like, just start rolling people because I'll have a collection of all the colors. The green is worth $150. If I give them $151, they'll just give it to me. You know, when you were talking about that. Right. So, like, it's interesting how just they can make AI kind of scale as, like, a difficulty as well.
Yeah. Another interesting thing I read was from a Naughty Dog designer about The Last of Us enemy. And not so much, while they were very intelligent and would oftentimes do other things than, I haven't played the game, but I've seen definitely a lot of fights from it. They're not going to be your standard. Like, if you take cover, they won't just continue shooting at cover. They will throw some sort of device that will hurt you from behind cover, or they will instantly try to get you out of there / get behind you. But outside of the combat aspect, they also tried to make them so human-like that in a deeply emotional game, you might have some misgivings about killing a computer, which I thought was really interesting.
Yeah, that game is super emotional, and, like, there is that discussion of, like, it's kind of like if you're a Walking Dead fan, or were a Walking Dead fan, I don't know many people who are anymore, it kind of feeds off of this kind of moral dilemma of, like, when do you become the bad guy, you know? Yeah. And there is definitely those moments where it's like, well, yeah, we have to survive, but we're also just slaughtering people. Like, at what point in, I thought they did a really good job of that. They did make you feel bad sometimes. Like, man, I'm just, like, killing everybody in this camp, but I kind of have to.
It's the you or me mentality.
Yeah.
And I think it's, as someone who's always been overly sensitive, even in video games, like, when my friends who were playing the Halo campaign wanted to just kill the Marines because they were so stupid, I would give them, like, no, you can't. What the fuck? They're our friends, you asshole.
I also think that breaks the immersion, though. I hated that when people did that, because I was like, the idea is that we're the Master Chief and they're, like, our support. We're here to support them. And if you just kill them, then it's like, to get their weapons, I'm always like, well, now it kind of breaks the immersion, because it's just like, yeah, they're just robots. Well, not robots, computer generated images. I'm there with you, Neil. For a different reason, I think, but I'm there with you. Although, because I have had games where, I think we were playing The Division. I like to, the first thing I'll do in games is test different things. It drives Courtney nuts. Like, I will see if you spam jump, if it makes you faster. And Courtney will be like, you look like an idiot. I'm like, I just want to see if I can move faster. Or if there's a dog or an animal, I'll always shoot it to see if you can kill it. And then if it dies, I feel so bad.
But it is a line that developers frequently don't cross.
Yes, but, like,
a lot of times animals are safe.
Yeah. But if I shoot a dog and it dies, I'm like, oh man, I killed that dog. If it doesn't die, I'm like, this game is bullshit.
Like the children in Skyrim.
Yeah. Yeah, right. Courtney's big thing that bothers her is if bottles don't break. So if there's like a row of bottles and you punch or shoot them and they just sit there, she's like, stupid.
I'm trying to think of one where bottles do break. I'm sure they do in Red Dead. Overwatch,
every like a bunch of stuff interacts with you for no reason at all.
Well, that yeah, and that's cool. Level design. That's not really AI.
No, no, I know, but just kind of talking about.
But it's all it in the end. AI improves your experience by further upping your immersion in the world.
Yeah. I think there are ways that, like Clinton was saying, just in general, that you can make AI seem smarter when it's like, well, they just needed to do that one thing. Because like Neil and I just finished Divinity Original Sin 2 a while ago. And it's hard. And part of that reason might be because the AI is good, or it might be because the fact that they have programmed them to always attack the lowest health character that you have.
Which is so incredibly smart. It's what we
do. Right, exactly. So it's like, is this good AI, or is there just one piece of coding in there that says attack the lowest health character, and that just makes it more difficult? I don't know. But there was some bad. I mean, there's so many interactions in that game. It's hard to ever like be like, this is bullshit, you know, because there was some of the coding in the game that was backwards, or the AI was almost too good and it like ruined aspects of the game. So there was a spell combination that seemed like, this is a good spell combination, where you could use a soul link kind of thing. So you would like have this like ghost chain that would attach to an enemy, and every time you got hurt, they would get hurt, but they just wouldn't attack you. You're like, all right, that makes sense. So I'll pair it with taunt, which makes enemies nearby attack you. Well, the coding says they can only attack you, not that they have to attack you. So you would not be attacked at all. And you could never use this ability because no one would ever hurt you. So you would never see it happen. Or the AI was smart enough, they couldn't attack another enemy directly. But what they could do is throw a grenade two spaces away.
Yeah, and
hurt your other characters. And you're like, well, what's the point of this stupid taunt move if the computer's so smart, it knows how to do it?
And then you find yourself gaming the game that's gaming you and go, okay, so if optimally my heavy tank person who could take all this damage uses taunt can't use taunt, maybe I can put it on my squishiest character.
Right.
That should have no business knowing this ability, but it'll be a free two turns for them because they're too smart to attack him.
Yeah, so it kind of like...
Well, they're too dumb and smart.
Yeah, because it was like, well, obviously, like, taunt is meant for your big, heavy characters. But if you put it on your squishies, I think they would attack them. But if you put the soul link and then the taunt, they wouldn't touch them.
Yeah.
So it was a weird way to, like, game the game. And it was like, this is such an odd interaction that they coded the AI to do. It kind of ruined, like, a whole ability. People were like, this thing is broken. You can't do it, or you have to do it in a way that, like, you breaks have to be the immersion like
lone,
of the game.
A lone wolf build. It's the only way you can use it.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. That is true.
Another thing that's not tied to, and again, we're using the term AI lightly. It's really a bunch of algorithms that respond to your stimuli or take, in this example, take things off the player's plate so they can do more. Mm-hmm. I played The Division for a bit, probably 20, 30 hours. It was a fun game, just another looter shooter that wasn't really for me. But one big thing they did do, and if you've ever played a Tom Clancy game, they give you way more toys than you even know what to do with. Mm-hmm. Like, from drones that can survey everything while you're in a firefight to just a crazy amount of gizmos and gadgets. One cool thing they did have is that it's a cover-based game. So running from cover to cover, they devised a way where you could select what cover you wanted to move to. And you'd get like a line that would show you in a little silhouette of your player, like here's where you'll be when this action completed and the position you'll be in, and kind of, and even I think if you leveled it up, you can see like this enemy will have visibility of you and blah, blah, blah. Which was a lot of information to take in at once, but in doing that, you can select the cover you're going to, and then, unlike a Gears of War maybe, you don't have to hold A and run and just worry about getting to the cover. You've pressed A, the computer's got it now, Jesus take the wheel, you're off and running, and while running, you can do a handful of other things that help you once that, you know, that are already completed once you get to your destination. So yes, it's not an intelligent enemy, but it is a system that takes things out of your hands so that you can do more in the time it's taking you to get there.
Gotcha. I never thought of it in that aspect. I usually just think about enemies using AI.
Yeah. But again, this isn't really artificial intelligence.
Right, right. It's a,
it's algorithms and
crazy, I mean, that's all AI is in for any enemies. Yeah. It's not really active machine learning going on in many games. I mean, there are games where it is, but not many.
Yeah. I remember the first time I ever like thought about AI or that kind of learning was Star Wars The Force Unleashed. That was the first game I remember. They gave a trailer, and then they talked about new AI design that was coming to the game that had never been used before. And if you pushed a stormtrooper off the edge, it was, looking back now, I'm like, oh, that doesn't really seem that impressive. But at the moment, it was like, whoa, because it was back. That game was for 360. I think it was an early 360 game.
Yeah.
So if you pushed, force pushed a stormtrooper, it would always search for something to grab onto. And that was like its first thing. So they would be hanging from the edge of the, you know, in, for some reason, Star Wars, there's a whole bunch of platforms with no railings. That's just a thing. So they're hanging off. And then the thing that really amazed me was, let's say you push a second trooper off and it misses the ledge, will actually grab onto the other stormtrooper. So you could make these like chains of stormtroopers, and I remember just being like, "Wow, that is so cool!" Now, like that's kind of silly, but it was fun to watch them try to survive as opposed to just getting shot.
I think
off
that
the
was
edge.
Like the thing of the time, because I remember reading like a big like centerfold 12-page article in a magazine about the AI in Assassin's Creed 2 and how it evolved from 1 to 2 and how they search for you when you're hiding and all their different like states of like alertness and searching and active chasing and combat and like how all of those systems interacted. There was like a whole like 12-page like article about it.
Right. And that, I think that was just kind of the time where it was like, man, things don't just die because I,
they don't do just like one action. They can do multiple things now. Yeah.
Right. And it made it seem like they were thinking in like they had some kind of survival, you know?
Yeah.
Because before you could just pop things off the edge and no big deal, right?
Yeah. I think Dark Souls has been kind of, has been a great example of this as well, because the enemies are so varied from level to level. You truly, every time you're in a new biome, you get a set of eight to ten different people that you need to figure out what their new moves are, how they behave. And just to illustrate like how a computer would see you walking up to them, you know, you've got your standard brawler and it's like, if player distance 10 meters, then attack. And then there's plenty of enemies that like see you and start screaming, especially in like Sekiro, like if enemy spotted within 10 meters or ally in combat, start screaming. And so it cascades into this whole you know, web of what you are doing to the system.
Yeah. Yeah, it's fine. Has there, like, what is it? I mean, I don't want to put anybody on the spot. We might have to think about this for a minute. Is there a game that has AI that's fun to play with and mess with that you can think of? Because I know there definitely has been, like, when you're talking about stealth games where you can constantly throw, like, a rock and they'll be like, what's that? Who's there?
What's that? Definitely.
To, like, take advantage of them or to just, like, to fuck with them?
Just fuck with them. Because you kind of, when the AI kind of gets predictable and you know what they're going to do, you can kind of mess back and forth with them.
Yeah, I mean,
because there's been times.
Like you were saying in Skyrim, you could just, like, Skyrim shoot people and, like, what was that?
And I think that's one thing that, like, a video game donkey will do a lot is mess with people's AI.
Oh, yeah.
And there's a video of him doing Hitman, where he constantly, like, has a man go back and forth with the soup can. And throwing soup around. I think that's always, like, it's like a weird thing where you can kind of find the patterns in their AI, which, like we're saying, isn't true AI, and just kind of exploit it to either make AI funny things.
It's
right,
like, it's just on that artificial side.
It's leaning more towards the A.
Yeah, I think Donkey had a great example of AI not working from Sekiro, in that you can hang off ledge, and he was hanging off a ledge, and there were, like, wooden fences above him, and he could swipe up and blow up the fence and, like, destroy it, and all these, like, foot guards were patrolling the ledge where the barriers were blowing up, just going, and, like, they don't know I'm here. All the while, there's an archer up on a platform that's just shooting at the edge where he's hanging, but he can't hit him, but he knows he's there, and he's further away from these guards that are staring down right at him.
Yeah. Yeah, I've definitely had moments where it's fun to mess with them, and just to find, like, oh, this weird interaction. Because if I do this, then they do this, and they can't not do it because it's in their coding.
Yeah.
So, kind of like we were talking about with Divinity, messing with what characters use which thing. But, I'm thinking about it now, playing God of War, like, how little AI I think there is in that game. All of them, I mean, it is AI, but it's pretty basic. All the monsters that you fight are pretty much scripted to do the same round of things over and over and over.
Yeah.
For the most part. Unless you interrupt them.
You should see, like, do they do a different attack if I am above them rather than if I were right next or and stuff like that.
They kind of have the thing where the bosses and the bigger characters, like, just kind of do the same moves in the same order to kind of give you, like, that advantage as a player to know how to block it and what's coming. And then the smaller ones just kind of rush you. Yeah. Then you chop off their heads.
I find in Dark Souls, it's a lot of it is based on, especially with how large some of these bosses are, is, like, your distance from them and your positioning against them. Like, if you're a lot of them, you're fighting giant monsters. If you're at their feet, they will stop. Or if you're, like, really far away from you, they're gonna do whatever their biggest ranged attack is.
Right.
Usually in the mid is where they kind of have the most, or they'll have, like, a gap closer, something that gets them right next to you. But that's kind of how in Dark Souls 2 I beat this grand dragon. He's the size of you times 1,000. He's bigger than any dragon you've ever fought. And he's actually just someone you're supposed to talk to, but you can kill him if you want. He's kind of a dick, and he's super hard.
That dragon's kind of a dick, am I right?
He's like the ancient father of all dragons. He's a total dick about it. Like, you petty human. But anyways, you can go through this grueling fight alone with this giant dragon who has way too much health. Or I found out, if you're having a hard time with it, you can just get in between his back toes. And when he's stomping with one foot, roll to the other foot, get in between those toes, and then he'll have to stomp again. And then you just keep doing that until he's dead. Just toe to toe to toe to toe. And he doesn't get to do any other attack.
Nice. Just because he's, like, he's on my feet, I have to stomp him.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, we also take advantage of it in Ark, right? Because the dinosaurs have very basic moves. So we fight the turtles that are not very, they're not super strong, but they have a lot of health. And we'll just get on, we'll each get on one side of him, and he won't know who to attack, and we'll just take turns shooting him. And he'll just turn back and forth, trying to attack who's attacking him until he's dead. Or the main carnivores, the big ones, are just meant to come at you no matter what you're doing. Even if they're terrible at swimming, so you can just hit a T-Rex or a big dinosaur, run to your boat, and get out in the water, and just watch them slowly attempt to...
While they swim.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Which, you know, I don't know if T-Rexes swim or not. But I
probably
doubt.
Not with those arms.
Yeah, that's true. That is true.
Get their feathers so, all wet.
Yeah, that is one thing about Ark, is this game isn't that old, and they didn't get the feather memo.
Yeah, that wasn't that recent.
I don't think all dinosaurs had feathers. I think just more the more recent ones. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, they kind of have like added, because there's like a raptor, and then there's a terror bird, which is kind of like a bird that's raptor-esque that kills you. And then there's like a middle ground that's like a raptor with feathers that's called something else.
I don't know what those are.
I don't know. But yeah, I don't know if we're putting a bow on this, unless you have something else that you looked up now.
I had an interesting real-world application in that computers were or that scientists were able to use Grand Theft Auto for something. Obviously, any system of AI is not human, does not see systems and stimuli like we do. But the benefit of that is that you can treat a video game that's realistic enough like the real world. So a stop sign in GTA doesn't look that much different than a stop sign in real life. It's just, we just know it's animated. The computer just sees, you know, red octagon.
Right.
Hexagon.
Hexagon, I think.
So in that, I forget what the company was, Xerox Research Center Europe, was able to use, that was for a different example. I don't remember who it was, but they were able
stop signs are red. Octagons.
Are they octagons? Yeah, sorry guys. I don't drive anymore. I don't see stop signs.
I couldn't remember. I was in agreement with you, and then I was like, I don't know. Then I started counting the sides, and I couldn't do it in my head. Sorry. Computers are much smarter than I am.
Yes. I just started thinking of like UFC fights for some reason, like the Octagon of Doom, and I was like, no, that wouldn't be a stop sign. I don't know why my brain thought that. Anyways, in Grand Theft Auto, they were able to get a computer to recognize a stop sign the same as they were like a picture of a stop sign or footage of a stop sign in real life. So in doing that, they could also alter the stop sign and still get it to recognize it, like, you know, beat it up, put paint on it, throw dirt on it. And that assisted or is assisting, I'm sure they've covered this by now, self-driving cars in isolating certain elements of the real world.
Oh, that's
and
cool.
Responding to that stimuli. I'm sure they did plenty of other stuff, and I'm sure these guys are over-exaggerating it, but it does make sense. And I think it does illustrate a good point that the computers don't see what we're describing as sets of stimuli the same way we do, like, at all.
Yeah.
We are numbers and pixels and blah, blah, blah. They don't have vision.
Right. Kind of like when you go to log into a thing and it's like, click every picture that has a truck in it.
Well, that's what you're doing, is you're training the artificial intelligence with your pattern. So your brain is good at finding patterns, whereas the AI can't do that. So you're training its pattern finding thing by saying like, this is the trucks or these are the stop signs.
Right, but are you trying to log in? Isn't that a test to make sure that you're not a computer, though?
Yeah, because computers are really bad at it, so they're using you to train the computer.
Oh, get out of here!
And then if your analysis of that picture doesn't match the 1,000 other people's analysis of it, it'll think you're a computer. So we'll let you in.
Dang.
Assisting to
That's what CAPTCHAs have always been. Even like the text CAPTCHA was training computers to recognize letters.
Really?
So even once when they're like warped and.
So is that? I don't know if you know this question. I always ask Clinton questions like he knows everything. It was reached a point where he's like, I don't fucking know, Dan. And I'm like, I don't know. So is that why we've moved from the squiggly letters to the pictures? Because I got too good at the squiggly letters?
I don't know that it's they got too good at it, but they probably got a lot better at it. But I think there's more money in training self-driving cars than to train book scanners.
Right, right. I was wondering.
Imagine that the computers got good enough with the letters that they had to make the letters so weird. Me reading it kind of drunk at 8 p.m. was like, is that a lowercase q or that O close to that line?
Yeah, no, that's definitely part of it. I think
that would get bad. I was wondering how my mom's Tesla sees things because it will like know in. When you hit a stop, like when you're on the highway and you have it, not if any of it's driving, but on its own, if you're driving it, it will tell you what the speed limit is on the dashboard. And it will always change right when you drive by the speed limit sign. So I was like, how does it know? There's no way they know where everyone is. So it must have some kind of camera that's reading it. And as soon as you pass it,
not necessarily, because if you pull your GPS open on your phone,
right,
it knows it has speed limit, it'll do it at the same place,
right? But it must be looking for them at least, because it's instantaneous as soon as you hit the line of the.
Yeah, I mean your phone GPS will be pretty close with that too, for the most part.
Do you think they all know where they all are?
Yeah, I mean I'm sure that they've. I mean, and it might be part of like Google's mapping program or whatever. Has gone through and mapped a lot of them, but yeah.
Shit's crazy.
Or just like with Waze, I think you could report where the
speed limit's wrong.
Speed limit things were, and Google bought Waze and integrated all of it into its Google Maps stuff, so
it
might be part of it too.
Last thing that I wanted to talk about was I mentioned it a little bit in the history of my experience with people creating bots for their own like cheating systems, basically, was in Hearthstone when I was playing it more. Oh, I've been playing that game too. It's great. More stuff. But in a couple of seasons ago when I was playing it really hardcore, there was a pirate warrior. And basically, it would just... The idea was you put as many things on the board as you could, as many minions as you could, and you would just attack the other player until they died. You were trying to kill them as quick as you could. And it was such a simple deck to play that people could just build a bot to play the game for them. And you could tell if you were playing a bot, because if you just put enough taunt minions, which are minions that block other minions from attacking you, if you got like five or more, the other the bot would just give up. And it would just stall its turns and you would win. So if you were playing a pirate warrior, if you thought it was a bot, you could just start to try to draw all your cards and lay down taunts, whether it made sense or not, for the enemy to look at it and the bot to go, I don't know what to do. There's too much to attack. I'll just quit. But obviously it got a lot of flack because they were like, if this deck is so easy to play that people are just creating bots to farm gold. That was a big controversy in the game, and it was the first time I really just saw people using bots to just farm in-game currency, basically. So it was interesting. Well, anything else we want to do to put a little bow on this, or are we all set?
Dan, acknowledge your bow.
All right. Well, thank you guys for listening to us today. We've talked about AI, a big part of video games that hopefully you don't notice. If you notice it, probably not a great game. But we're going to be back next week. We're doing this new format. It'll be nice, short. This only took about an hour. I hope you enjoy the new format. You can always email us at gamegoosepodcast@gmail.com. We need suggestions for episodes, any feedback, anything like that. What's the worst AI you've ever seen? Let us know those kind of things. Also, check out Party Foul Games on Facebook and Twitter. That's where, I don't know why I said Twitter with so many T's like that. Twitter. That is the network that we're a part of. They do a D&D game called Duck Duck Dice every Monday that Clinton is also a part of. How's it going over there on Duck Duck Dice?
Good. We just had our 21st episode session, whatever you want to call it. So
yeah, I watched them last night.